There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. My name is Paul Riismandel, and I'm your host. On today's program, an update from Oaxaca, Mexico. Independent media, especially radio, have been vitally important to the growing popular assembly there, but recently the federal government has sent in police to put down the people's movement. Once again, I'll be talking with Nancy Davies and George Salzman, two Americans living in Oaxaca, who will tell us what's really going on in the streets and what's not being reported in the mainstream American press. Do stay tuned. The state of Oaxaca, Mexico has been in a state of popular uprising since May of this year, when police attacked striking teachers who were holding their annual protest in the main city center. Since then, a popular movement of poor and indigenous people has come together to resist the state government and challenge Governor Ulises Ruiz Ortiz, who they say was not popularly elected. Ortiz is a member of the PRI, the former ruling party in Mexico that held national power for decades prior to the election of outgoing President Vicente Fox. Back in September, I interviewed Nancy Davies and George Salzman, two Americans living in Oaxaca, who have been filing internet reports on the situation there for sites like Narconews.com and Counterpunch. They describe the movement and how the people have been taking advantage of radio as a vital communications medium. Since then, President Fox has sent in federal troops in support of Governor Ortiz and to resist the popular movement known as APO. And there have been several killings and many arrests and disappearances of persons associated with the movement. There has also been targeted repression of journalists, including the murder of American indie media reporter Brad Will by Mexican police on October 29th. Nancy Davies tells us more about what is happening there in Oaxaca.
The current situation has turned into a human rights disaster, just a human rights disaster. The governor does not choose to step down. And at this point, everybody wishes he would, but we think maybe he is holding until December 1 when a pre-person would be appointed, and also the governor would collect his pension because he would have served 2 years. So we are hoping now for a December 1 departure. This is not by any means assured because he just keeps saying he won't go. Meanwhile, to bring some order from the point of view of the federal government, which has promised because the PRI will support the federal government in its programs. You understand that? Am I being clear? The federal government is the PAN party. They cannot govern. They don't have a majority without assistance from one of the other two parties, which would be the PRD or the PRI. The PRI is the old guys and the old guard and the network that has been in place for 75 years, the bad guys, who are dead but won't give up. So they have allied with the PAN in return for certain favors, and one of those favors is to keep a pre-governor in office when everybody wants him out. So Fox said, all right, he would leave a clean house for the incoming Pan President Calderon. And he was, Fox said, he would sort of get everything into shipshape. And what he actually did was to send the Federal Preventative Police and the Army. This does not do anything for anybody except allow Fox to say he's doing something. And what he has here is a lot of military people who are supposedly keeping the peace, but in fact are doing nothing to go against the people here who are the thugs, the shooters, the murderers, the assassins, the criminals in general who are supporting the pre-governor. So in that sense, what has happened is that the PRD has been squeezing the popular movement, but it has not been squeezing the governor's shooters or paramilitaries or whatever you want to call them. The result of all of this is that has been several events where the PFP, that's the Federal Preventive Police, the PFP have tried to invade and destroy, we assume, why else would they be going in there, invade the university radio station, which is the prime communications source for the movement. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, they had other radio stations. Now they're down to just Radio Universidad. And it was the ploy of the federal government, not, we assume, at the behest of the governor, Ruiz, to go in there and destroy the radio station. Well, this attack against an autonomous university, as usual, backfired on Ulysses in one sense in particular, because you cannot attack an autonomous university. All the university systems in Mexico are, you know, either public or private, and the public ones are the autonomous university system. And that was like kicking a hornet's nest. So that was a political problem. The actual physical problem is that the population came out and said, no way are you going to enter the university, and there was a grand battle.
And this happened around November 2nd?
It happened November 2nd. It happened, the battle of the university happened November 2nd. Prior to that time, I'm looking at a date of October 29, that was the day Bradwell was killed. So it was the struggle at Santa Lucia. And there were 33 people wounded on that day, among them 5 news people. There were 6 violent deaths between the 27th and the 29th, added on to the previous, up until then, 11 deaths. So that was kind of like a quantum leap. Since October 29, there have been 10 people who have disappeared. Since October 30, they have disappeared 6 more. On November 2nd, they disappeared 28. And in addition to that, 3 minors were snatched off the street and taken presumably to prison. On October 29, they detained the difference between disappeared and detained, we all know. Detained is you find them in jail, and disappeared is you don't find them anywhere, okay? So on October 29, they arrested 22 people. On the 30th, they arrested 12. On November 1, they arrested 4. On November 2nd, they arrested 46. On November 4, they arrested 2. On November 5th, they arrested 1. And along with these arrests, the PFP has started going into private homes, and searching and taking out people. So everybody is badly affronted, frightened. So that's the enormous human rights damage that is going on. All of that was illegal. And it was all done by the PFP, who at the same time have been told not to shoot the people on the street because that wouldn't look good. So the point here is they've got these PFP here supposedly to keep the peace. And what, in effect, the PFP is doing is herding the OPPO people, the movement people, herding them from one place to another, barricading, and leaving the paramilitaries to go wild.
The paramilitaries, are they in plain clothes?
Yes. Yes. And we assume when we identify them as paramilitaries, it's simply because there's no other way to identify them. They are certainly shooting people in the movement, therefore we assume they are government people or hired by the government, and therefore we assume they are pre.
What is everyday life like for you and the other people living in Oaxaca right now?
Well, for we who are not in the movement, it's just quite normal, except I won't go down to where the military, the preventative police are standing, guarding entry to the Zocalo, which is a symbolic situation. It has no particular value, but they're circling it and with guys in riot gear to prevent the OPPO people from taking it back. And meanwhile, the OPPO people simply move to another area, which is lovely. I mean, they have wonderful, the OPPO people have a wonderful street scene all the time, no matter where they are, you know, with music and color and banners and flowers and videos showing all of the various attacks and meetings going on constantly. It's very vibrant, very energetic. Whereas since they had to get out of, they were forced out of the Zocalo, the Zocalo looks like a graveyard. It's gray soldiers in gray ash heaps on gray stone. It's no reason on earth to go there. So that makes a difference for people who would have gone to the Zocalo for a cup of coffee. We don't do that. I don't do that. I go to Santo Domingo.
And what is the Zocalo?
The Zocalo is the main square in the center of the city.
It's a very well-known park, I mean, with huge trees, and it's really the center of the city. Yeah. By the way, I was there today, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to do a little shopping, and I went through it. And, you know, what is happening, it's sort of interesting, if you don't mind me butting in, is that the... under the control, I mean, the PFP is, you know, they've opened roads. I don't know what the situation is with barricades in some of the outlying communities. But certainly in the center part of the city, they have really taken a lot of control. And in fact, there were people in the Zocalo. It didn't have that nice, lively, festive atmosphere that it used to have, but it's not as if it was a graveyard. And I mean, there were tourists even sitting, having coffee and stuff. And mainly, it's soldiers lounging around, eating their popsicles and stuff. But another thing I noticed today. I think the goal of the PFP and the federal government is to try to make it look as normal as possible, and except for all the troops there, and they have. Today was the first day that I went up on my usual climb, and there had been a bus that was burned as part of a barricade to try to protect the radio transmitter. That was back in August that was attacked. And today that wrecked, burned-out bus had been removed, finally. I mean, it was yesterday I didn't go there, but 2 days ago it was still there. And so I have this feeling, you know, that they're trying to make it look more normal to middle-class people. That's my sense.
The thing that seems to be going on is the marches. Every time I go out the door, there's a march. The march today was a march of the medical students from this autonomous university who marched to the university radio station in support of the movement and against invading the university, the autonomous university. That I just happened to be out the door and there it was. And there were two marches yesterday. One was, is that right, George?
That's what Melena told us.
So one was the women's march at 4 o'clock, which was to protest the human rights violations and demand the release of the prisoners and they disappeared. And they were attacked by the PFP, according to what's in all the newspapers. I wasn't there, but the PFP used the water hoses and sort of pushed back the women who came close to the Zocalo. And they were with their children, so that was a nice mess to beat up on women and children with water cannons from a tank when the march was passing by. That wasn't so nice. The earlier march the same day was the march that was put together by the governor to show support for himself. And, of course, you never know to what extent people actually support him, but most people think that the supporters, so-called, were paid and bussed in, and our government workers who will lose their jobs if they didn't show up. And given all of that, there weren't all that many. I mean, this is the second time the governor has had a parade in his own honor with very little success. So this is all in the last day or so. I can't count how many parades. But this weekend is a big weekend because this is the weekend that the movement puts together the new state constitution based on face-to-face popular democracy. So we'll see how many people they kill during that. This is a big event.
This is Media Geek, a weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. I'm your host, Paul Riesmandel. Today I'm speaking with Nancy Davies and George Salzman, two Americans living in Oaxaca, Mexico. They're telling us about the popular uprising there and how the governments of Oaxaca and Mexico are mobilizing to suppress it. You can check out Media Geek online at MediaGeek.net. You can download this radio program at radio.MediaGeek.net, where you can subscribe to the podcast and get it automatically downloaded to your computer in MP3. You can also send me your comments. I'd love to know what you think about the program. Send them to paul@MediaGeek.net. Now we return to my interview with Nancy Davies and George Salzman. University Radio is still on the air right now?
It is on the air, blocked with static from the so-called citizen radio, Radio Ciudadana, which is actually the governor's radio station, which specializes in inciting people to lynch Apo people. It names names. It tells you who is an Apo or a teacher or leader, and encourages people to do bad things. It's very much like the governor's website, which is not, when I say the governor, I really mean the pre-supporters of the governor have a website with pictures, names, addresses of various leaders, and little things that say, you know, dead or alive, wanted, get this guy, kill him. And the radio is not too different. In addition to that, there is this huge static. I mean, just, you know, you could go nuts.
The government is trying to jam the university station.
They are jamming it.
Quite effectively.
Yes. I know from one can get on streaming video of streaming audio on the internet. You can get it and you hear the static in the background. You cannot escape the jamming. They are just doing a great job of jamming. And it's totally illegal. The station, I have been told, I don't know this personally, but I've been told the station is not a legal broadcasting station. It's a pirate station, would you believe? And I have also been told by the people at Radio Universidad that the university broadcasts signal as part of their autonomy. So what is the government doing, you know, destroying their radio signal?
Are there other forms of communication for the APO?
Would you believe cell phones?
I would.
Cell phones is what they rely on. There is print material, and there is the daily newspapers, the two big ones being Noticias, which is published here in Oaxaca, and La Jornada, which is published in Mexico City. La Jornada frequently has more up-to-date info because they have an electronic feed on their front page. So, you know, and the place is full of reporters, just full of reporters, video cameras. If you want to know what's going on, you just run behind someone with a video camera who's running off in some direction. But Noticias is very good because they're local and they know the story and they hate the governor for reasons of historical interference by the governor and the governor before him, who have tried to destroy that newspaper, literally, with guns, with bullets, with fires, with fake strikes, with invasions, with all kinds of, you know.
Oh, they still have the building sealed off.
Yeah. And one of the things the human rights group is calling for is to give Noticias back their building, can you imagine? That's a violation of free speech or free communication. But they're there. So the newspapers are out, and there are tables set up with print material, and that gets out. But if you're, you know, calling for help to defend the barricade, it should have been, it was being, the radio station, and now I think it's cell phone.
For people in the United States and Canada, English-speaking countries, I know that, Nancy, you've been filing reports for Narco News, which also has had other reports from other people there. What other news sources can we turn to know that we are actually getting a truthful representation of what's happening in Oaxaca?
Well, I know that there's been some stuff on
there are other internet sites.
ZNet.
Indie Media, excuse me.
Indie Media, ZNet.
Yeah.
I don't know if, there are many websites, of course.
Yeah.
But in terms of a major source, and a reliable one, I don't really know.
I don't think there's a mainstream news.
Probably people in the U.S. would do better to try to pay attention to the British press. I mean, because the U.S. press has really been very bad in general.
Yeah. We can say definitively that anything that's on AP is incorrect. That we can say. Now, Reuters, on the other hand, is closer to correct because they serve a financial community and people who are dealing in money want real news, not propaganda. So Reuters is pretty consistently better. AP is a pack of propaganda. And there is a lot of video feed coming out because now everybody knows to run with a camera and a video and get those out onto various sites, including Google. You know, Google is running videos on its pages for various attacks or marches or who knows what all. Jornada is running videos on its front page, so if you don't speak Spanish, you can still look at the pictures. It's really, you have to kind of search. You have to search.
My final question is, what can people in the United States and Canada do that would be of aid to the people of Oaxaca, you know, the primarily poor and indigenous people of Oaxaca in this struggle?
Well, the first, one of the things that is very important is radio. And so in the United States, you can contribute to Radio Tupa.
It stands for Transmitters Unifying the Peoples of the Americas.
Yes.
Tupa.
So radio is enormously important, and by going that route, radio stations can get on the air down here.
That's a project which grew out of Free Radio Berkeley. And Free Radio Berkeley doesn't actually broadcast anymore, but they aren't. This project is quite active, and they are. If people want to contribute, they can contribute to that through. In fact, if they want to do it as a tax exempt thing, they can even do it that way.
Yes, and then I would say for the next really, really urgent thing is calls, letters, phones, faxes to demand that human rights be observed. You know, this is a lot of people killed and snatched in a very short period of time. But I'm counting like close to 100.
And so people should call the Mexican consulate?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Call, I would say also, call your church groups, call American Friends Service Committee, call the Unitarian Service Committee, call your congressperson, especially if he's a Democrat. This is a disaster for the people here.
That was Nancy Davies, whom I interviewed along with George Salzman from Oaxaca, Mexico. Nancy has been filing regular reports for narconews.com, where you can also read other unfiltered accounts of what is happening on the streets of Oaxaca and elsewhere in Latin America. George has been sending regular reports to an email list, which I'm reposting to the Media Geek website at mediageek.net. That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'm host and producer Paul Riesmandel. I'll be back in 1 week with another half-hour look at independent and grassroots media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. In the meantime, check out the frequently updated Media Geek blog at mediageek.net. The program can be downloaded at radio.mediageek.net, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. Media Geek is produced at Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. The program is also heard on 10 other community stations around North America. They are Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, KQRP in Salida, California, KRBS in Oroville, California, WSLR in Sarasota, Florida, WTND in Macomb, Illinois, WRFA in Jamestown, New York, CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia, WYQZ in Warrenton, Bealeton, Virginia, Free Radio Olympia in Olympia, Washington, and Free Radio San Diego. Media Geek is free to air on your local community station as well. Just email Paul at mediageek.net. That's also the address where you can send your comments about the program. Once again, that's Paul at mediageek.net. Thanks for tuning in.